Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this month, we are going to be talking about overcoming strongholds. So with you now, join us with our devotion. We'll begin with a song from June Rochelle, Wherever You Go.
There was this situation, and I had to talk to God about it. And I said, God, what do I do? And I didn't know how I would act or respond in this situation. But I asked God, would He still love me? And He said, June, I love you and I'm here for you for the rest of your life. And not only am I here for you, but I'll give you the desires of your heart.
Amen. Our text is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Amen. Amen. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come before you tonight as we are examining the topic of overcoming strongholds. Manifest yourself in the study, O God, as we seek to understand and to be able to glean learning from you. Open our spiritual eyes and enlighten us so that we can grow and transform in our walk. We ask these blessings now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all say amen.
Amen.
We are all excited tonight because we are dealing with a new topic, and this will be the topic for the month of December. And as we do so, Dr. Nooks will be our instructor for this month, and the first lesson will involve, which is tonight, understanding what strongholds are. We'll be looking at 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 3rd through the 6th verse, which he's already read, and the Galatians passage of the 2nd chapter, the 20th verse. If you are interested in looking at these scriptures ahead of time, feel free to check on Blog Talk Radio and click in Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. If you have any further questions or you'd like to dialogue, we just ask that you call in tonight to the number 646-478-4932. That's 646-478-4932. Or email us at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. So, Dr. Nooks, are you ready to teach us the lesson for this evening? If so, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Okay, our lesson for this month is about strongholds. And we'd like to talk this week about understanding what strongholds are. And next week we'd like to talk about overcoming personal strongholds. And then in week 3, overcoming family/religious strongholds. And then in week 4, overcoming cultural strongholds.
And those are really awesome titles, Dr. Nooks. We have about 4 people on the line, so when you get ready to get started, it'd be nice if you asked for a roll call.
Okay, well, let's get a roll call then.
This is D.
Oh.
Hey, D. How are you doing?
Doing good, Dr. Nooks. How are you doing, sir?
Good, good. Long time.
I see that Brother Carter's with us, but he's got us on mute so that we won't hear the noise. And it's myself at this time, and as usual, we'll have people on the line who aren't willing to speak right now. Maybe they'll want to talk later on in the show.
Okay. I wanted to talk about strongholds because strongholds are more than the actual act like we may be addicted to drugs, or we may have a problem with pornography, we may have a problem with stealing or killing. But strongholds is more than that. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. I want us to read again 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, and maybe I'd like for us to maybe look at some different translations. But Dr. Susie, which do you have? Do you have a message in that?
2 Corinthians chapter 10. I can get that for you, sir. Yes, I can. And you'd like that from the message, and you like which verses would you like to have read?
3 through 6. Dee, do you have a Bible with you? Are you able to read it? Okay. And we can, and if you'd like, I'd like for you to read that also from whatever version you have, and let us know what version that is.
What is that? What
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6.
And I have the message text, and I can go ahead and start. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through the Message Bible. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they're for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. That's the message.
Amen.
Verses 3 through and 6.
And read verse 4 again, because that's where the stronghold equivalent is at. Just want to hear what they call strongholds. Read verse
and
4
it
again.
It doesn't break it down to verses in the message. It goes 3 through 4, but I'm assuming it says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ.
Okay. So they're calling it warped thinking, barriers, things that go against Christ. So, Dee, what do you have for verses 3 through 6?
3 through 6, this is the NIV. And, but we live in the world. We did not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every perseverance that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete.
Amen.
Dr. Nook.
Amen.
That's
yes.
Awesome, Dee. Can I read one more? As we're
yes.
seeing the continuity of the scriptures, thank you, Dee. It says, we're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. This is the New Living Translation. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. But 4 says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments.
Okay, so let's stay on verse 4 for a few minutes. And I'd like to get some input as to what that means to you, Dee and Dr. Susie and anyone else that wants to participate, about what that means as far as strongholds.
You want to jump out there, Thirsty?
Yes, I can do that. Strongholds to me are pretty much so anything that does not feed ourselves in the direction of God. Whether we're worshiping keeping our car clean, whether we're worshiping I gotta be home to watch a certain television show every evening instead of, you know, being at Bible study or even being at church or I gotta be home in time to watch, you know, a football game. There are so many distractions within the world that we can easily lose our place or our placement with God. We spend more time reading a magazine than we spend time in reading our Bible. We spend more time in doing anything other than praying or spending time with God. So those are strongholds that have to be pulled down and broken. That's my understanding, and I even have to align myself into that area because I realized that I was losing out by doing other things and not doing certain things towards God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Awesome. We've been missing hearing your word, Brother D.
I'm sorry, you broke up, Dr. Susan. Can you say that again?
No. I said we missed hearing your word. Glad you're back.
Oh, glad to be back.
Well, Dr. Susie, did you want to have any input into that? I want to discuss this a little further, but I wanted to get your understanding of strongholds just initially, and we want to develop that a little further just from the text.
It's interesting that the analogy that they gave in ancient days were how people would actually build up defenses to protect themselves. They would put walls around their settlement to protect them, and so that they would better be able to defend themselves during a war. So it was sharing that strongholds were these types of walled fortresses that stood to protect. But in the case of spiritual warfare, spiritual strongholds are represented in Scripture kind of similar in the way to me as the physical strongholds, these tall built up edifices that protect whatever is within. And when we have a stronghold, a spiritual stronghold, it's doing the opposite. It's trying to attack or wage war on that which is inside. It's like the enemy creates or determines or these things that become obstacles for me, as I'm understanding, to where God wants us to go, and they become strongholds that prevent us from doing that, which, you know, the enemy creates a stronghold to prevent us from being able to have or to try to deter us from having what it is that God would have us have for us. That's, you know, in a roundabout way of trying to.
Yeah, and you're right. In the Old Testament, a stronghold was like a fort or a fortress or even an altar in the case of Gideon tearing down an altar and building up a new one. The stronghold is something that pretty much needed to be destroyed and to establish another stronghold. And, of course, we want God to be our stronghold. But in the Old Testament and now we have obstacles, and I think, you know, that's what Dee was getting to and Dr. Susie. There are things that we erect in our lives, and we don't even have to erect it. It's there. It's in our culture. It's in our thinking that cause us to not elevate Christ. And so it causes us to think wrong. It causes us to act wrong. One definition given is that, I'm getting to it here, a mindset, value system, or thought process that hinders your spiritual growth and your ability to exalt Jesus above everything in your life. And in the Old Testament, it kind of is reflected in Judges 21, 24 through 25, at the end of Judges, where it says, at that time the men of Israel also left. They went home to their tribes and family groups. Each one went to his own share of land. In those days, Israel didn't have a king, and the people did anything that they thought was right. So a stronghold is that thinking of what is right and it's really wrong. Can you think of some mindsets in our culture today or value systems or thought processes that hinder us from growing spiritually? You know, I can think of things like... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Nick. I didn't have anything. I was trying to come up with something.
Well, what are some things that, I mean, I had a parishioner one time when I was teaching Bible study, and they said that they had to suffer because of what they had done in their life. So they felt like they didn't have the ability to be happy because they had to suffer because they had done wrong in their lives. That is not the thinking of what we have from the Bible, because Jesus set us free. So the world tells you, gives you a mindset of subjugation when God is trying to set you free.
Mm-hmm.
The world tells you that you're no good, and God is saying you're a royal priesthood. You're a special person, especially. Can you see what I'm trying to? So
right. For Satan us, works. God will set. Sometimes the Bible tells us if we're believers, we're saints. But
yes.
It's hard for us to wrap our head around that. Because we bought into we're not good enough. But what we don't fully understand is that righteousness is imputed to us. It's not our own. Is that a Christ?
Amen. You know, so we know in Romans 12, too, that Satan attacks our mind. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Satan goes after our minds, and in our minds, we can have so many crazy thoughts. And that's what we're talking about, trying to overcome. Another definition of strongholds says strongholds doesn't necessarily refer to something extreme as demon possession, but can merely be a strong influence or grip, persistent oppression, obsessions, hindrances, or harassment. It says, I do not believe that a child of God in whom Christ's spirit dwells can simultaneously be demon-possessed. But without a doubt, many Christians are frequent victims of Satan's strongholds.
Amen.
This is so important to our culture and our lives as Christians, to understand that our culture and our minds are being influenced by Satan, and he's setting up strongholds to cause us to miss the mark or to not be the Christians that we should. It's not taking away your salvation, right, but it causes us to be victims and not really walking in the spirit that we should be walking in, because we're held up by these strongholds. It's like a great fortress up in the middle of our lives that's trying to separate us from God.
Right.
So in that discussion, can you think of some more strongholds that exist in our culture today? Even in the church.
Somebody's rattling paper. Let's see.
Well, this is Dee. I would say just the pop culture and music today that the youth are listening to is a form of a stronghold. I mean, there's more violence and disrespect in the music and the things that they're talking about now, not just talking about love and relationships and things like that. It's more violent as to how to react to the way somebody treats you or does something to you. I look at that as a form of a stronghold nowadays.
Okay. So anger, rebellion, feeling oppressed. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Eric. Well, actually, anything that goes against God and God's word is a stronghold if you're following that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reality of it, because Satan's war is really against God. We just happen to be the tools that are being used, because here on earth, Satan can't inherit a plane to function as he would like to, so he has to use the folks who make themselves available to him. And even in the church, it starts with just the little stuff that then, when not checked, grows to be bigger. The mistreating people, the trying to lord over and have authority over people, the inconsiderate behavior that we will show in church, the things that we talked about harmony last month, and having disharmony can be a stronghold that then grows to be something much, much larger. And the sad part about it, I think, is we don't catch it and then it grows and grows and grows. It's kind of like the you know, the small snowball rolling down the hill. And if there's nothing there to stop it, then by the time it gets to the end, it's this huge, you know, boulder of snow. And at that point, there's not a whole lot you can do with that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read, and all of that is true. I want to read 1 Peter 5:8-10 and John 10:9-11. And then I want to go back to 2 Corinthians 10 because I want us to look at what we need to do when we're faced with these strongholds. So 1 Peter 5:8-10 and John 10:9-11 and then get Romans 12:2-3. So somebody get those texts for us. And then we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians.
What was the first one? 1 Peter 5:8-10. I've got that one.
Okay.
You want me to go ahead and read that?
Yes.
This is the New Living Translation, 1 Peter 5:8-10. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and will place you on a firm foundation. All power is his forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. Dr. Nooks, what that says to me, because I actually read that scripture every morning, is that the devil is real. The devil is your enemy, not your friend, and he's looking at how he can devour you and anybody else. And it says, take a firm stand. And the only way from my perspective that you can take a firm stand is your relationship with Christ Jesus and having an authentic relationship. I always remember that word because that's kind of what this Bible study was built on, was being authentic in our relationship with Christ Jesus. And it says that. And then remember that your Christian brothers and sisters are going through the same thing, so you're not by yourself, you're not isolated. And then pointing us back to Christ Jesus for our eternal glory and by Jesus Christ, by the means of Jesus Christ. So,
amen.
The devil is real. He is your enemy. He's looking for how to destroy you. But you have a conqueror in Christ Jesus, and you need to be strong in your relationship with Christ, is what I would tell the audience on that scripture.
Amen. And knowing that your brothers and sisters are going through the same stuff you're going through, they're facing strongholds just like you are. Strongholds that are trying to tear them down, destroy them, make their lives miserable. How does that affect you? How does that affect us? And how I treat my sisters and brothers when we have conflict? Because what strongholds will do is try to separate us. I was talking to someone today, and they were talking about how a husband and a wife, how that could cause them. God is trying to put strongholds up to separate them because God wants them to be separated. Well, not God. Satan wants them to be separated, but God wants them to be together. So Satan puts these strongholds up, and Satan is the prince of this world. So Satan has some power, and he's affecting our minds. So if he gets in the mind of one brother and in the mind of another brother, and they both have strongholds, and they perceive each other as being enemies because they're both going through some stuff, and then what does that cause us to do when we are in the church? See, Satan is messing with our minds, and if we know that, and we know that they're strongholds in our lives, how should that make us, how should that make us act in relationship to our sisters and brothers when we find ourselves in conflict?
Well, this is Dr. Susie. I think, first of all, you have to recognize the fact that, you know, that, as Eric was saying in that scripture, that the enemy is trying to discover whom he may devour. And so situations will be set up for our demise, to be eventful, to be challenging to us. And so we need to be aware. So awareness to me is a key thing in being able to fight a battle. It's being aware. Being aware of your surroundings, being aware of yourself, how you feel, what's going through you. You know, when you feel anxiety, when you feel like something's not right, you need to pay attention to those things. And understand that God is always with you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. God won't.
Amen. But if you know that your sister and brother are going through the same stuff, then it ought to make us more tolerant, shouldn't it? The Bible tells us to be long-suffering. And that is a hard word. It's been a hard word for me to deal with in my life. But if you realize this, it's coming from the text that our brothers and sisters are going through stuff too, and understand that Satan is trying to destroy us, going about like a roaring, seeking whom he may devour, then maybe it ought to cause us to want to reach out more to our sisters and brothers when we find them in hurting and find ourselves hurting, to understand each other a little better. Because Satan can really play some games with us as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. We should be long-suffering. But I think Jesus also gave us a model when he was tempted of the devil after his baptism. And I always try to make mention of that and you know, daily is – you know, Jesus, when he was tempted and had a, you know, I mean, all-out face-to-face conversation with Satan, he quoted God's scripture back to Satan, as Satan was quoting God's scripture to Jesus. Let's remember that, because he did.
Amen.
But Jesus always quoted God's scripture back to Satan, and what that meant for me is that Jesus drew closer to God. Not only just quoting the scriptures, because I am a believer that if you are in relationship and you're quoting the scriptures and you're reading the scriptures and you're fasting, that you have a true relationship. And so in a true relationship, when someone sees someone that they love being attacked in a true relationship, they try to protect them. I mean, that's normally what you do for those that you have a true relationship and you love. And so by him, For Eric, by him quoting God's scripture back to Satan and saying, yeah, but that's, no, you taking that out of context, Satan, because that's not really what, you know, God meant. It tells me that he's getting closer to God, then God will then direct him on what he needs to do. And I think for us, if we're seeing that of our brothers and sisters, you're absolutely right, we need to be long-suffering, but that's just not something that's in our DNA to start with. And the only way that we're going to be long-suffering and patient and kind to our brothers and sisters who are going through the same things that we're going through, as if Dr. Sue says that we really recognize that, is that we're getting closer to God in the midst of those meetings and conversations. Because I'm a firm believer that those little quick prayers, when you get ready to go into situations, you know, God hears. God doesn't. You don't have to have these long, drawn out prayers that we think, you know, in church and in the morning and evening. You know, those little quick prayers, Lord, I'm getting ready to deal with this brother, and I don't know how this is going to go. Help me to have the right words, to make the right decisions, have the right demeanor through this process. I mean, God hears that, and God can act accordingly to help you to deal with that. And I think, a lot of times that when Dr. Nooks and class, that when we enter those situations, we're going in there with our baggage, with our past history, with our mindset of, you know, what I got to get out of this, and we normally end up making it worse because we don't see that brother or sister going through those same things we do, fighting those strongholds.
Amen. Amen. Let's read John 10, 9 through 10, 9 through 11, I'm sorry. Somebody got that?
John 10.
John 10, 9 through 11. 5 through 11 or 9?
9 through 11.
5 through 11?
9. 9 through.
Okay. John 10, 9 through 11. I have the New Living Translation. It says, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep."
Amen. So when strongholds come in our lives, Dr. Susie, what does that mean? What does that text mean to us?
Well, it's saying that we understand that the enemy's purpose, when we experience those strongholds, that it's trying to kill us, to take us away from God's purpose and plan for our life. And so we need to know that it's something that's not good. It's something that's trying to keep us from the blessings and the joy and the and all of the protection and the wonderful things that God has for us. We need to be prepared for that and understand that the enemy's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God, the good shepherd that has sacrificed his life, is there, whose promise is never to leave nor forsake, who will guide us through.
Amen. Amen. And I want us to read one more, 2 Corinthians 5. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Somebody else want to say something on that one?
No, I'll just...
Go ahead.
I was just trying to see if there was anybody else who had other comments about it.
Yeah, that's what I asked. Yeah.
You know, we got to also see in this text that it says that the thief can be a false shepherd. A thief can be somebody who's intentionally leading you in the wrong direction. You know, when you look at the shepherd is the one that protects the flock. He's watching over them, but a thief doesn't care about the flock. So that thief is going to do anything to benefit for himself. He doesn't care if the sheep are killed, but the purpose of Christ, when you know, you can know the difference between a good shepherd. It's when they come to benefit Christ, when they come to build the kingdom of God, not their own personal kingdom, when they come to teach you and to lead you to understand what it means to tear down strongholds, what it means to grow, and challenging you. See, the problem is we think that if we got a shepherd, that shepherd's not supposed to challenge us. But a real good shepherd will even break the sheep's legs just to take care of it. Now, come on, somebody. We got to understand that it's not easy to walk this Christian life. And the strongholds that get in the way, those are things that God sees those things. But part of the reason why sometimes we have to endure those things is for our personal growth. And sometimes as we grow, we need to have our legs broke sometimes because we don't get it.
Amen.
What was that your grandmother used to say, Eric? I had it on the tip of my tongue. I never heard it so many times. I was going to say it. Oh, but anyway.
Oh, Dr. Susie, I don't know which one because she had a bunch of them. I mean, she absolutely did. But you know, you're absolutely right, and we think that you know, somewhere along the line, and I'm not sure where that started, Dr. Nooks, but somewhere along the line, we think we begin to believe that serving Christ meant we shouldn't endure hardships or testing, that everything should be sunshiny and no clouds and no rain. And I've never quite understood that, because Christ-like, and we know what Christ endured.
Amen.
So what makes us think that we wouldn't endure some things as well? And the scripture, and Christ told us, you know, in the gospel, that don't fear the one who can kill the body.
Well,
but fear that one which can kill the body and the spirit.
Amen.
So that's a clear indication that you're going to run into some stuff and somebody that might be willing to take, you know, the breath that you breathe here in this plane. But somewhere along the line, we got hoodwinked into believing we're not supposed to have any suffering, any trials, any tribulations, and that's just quite the opposite, actually.
Amen.
Well, Brother Eric,
Amen.
I think we're getting ready to have a whole bunch of trials and tribulations, so we need to be prepared.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and you know, and I'm not naive. There's no doubt about that, but I still submit that I know God, and I know that God is in charge.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be some wailing and gnashing of teeth, but if you are a believer, and we say that we are, then we've got to look to the hills from which cometh our help. And it may not come on this side. It may be that we get to the other side, but God is still in control through all of it.
Amen.
And
it's
going to get dark. It's going to get dark, and it's going to, you know.
But in line with the lesson tonight, it's saying that as we endure the journey, because the enemy does not want us to be successful, then we will have these strongholds that deter us, the strongholds that take us away from that which God intends or tries to. And so we need to be aware, and Dr. Nooks is kind of leading us towards an understanding of what we need to take account of as we overcome, or at least we at this point acknowledging what they are, so that we can overcome them. Because if you don't know when they're there, if you don't understand I guess the way you know that, Dr. Nooks, and you can, you know, add to this, is that if you don't know who God is, if you don't know what God is trying to teach or to take you, or the purpose or the things, or what is a characteristic of God, then you need to have that premise. So when the enemy throws things at you, then you know that's not of God, and that is a stronghold.
Amen.
So that you can know how to handle it.
Amen. Yeah, I would suggest that things, you know, in our culture, things like racism, that's not of God. It's not even biological. But that mindset, that suggestion, has caused so many problems in our country and in our world. Sexism, where we think that, you know, a man is better than a woman. You know, even in the Bible, you know, it was that they were to walk together, not one better than the other. So, but you can see that if you have a concept like that that gets into people's minds, how it affects their behavior. And God never intended for us to be thinking that we're better than somebody else. So this
Amen.
That's a stronghold. And it's really, really doing something with the people in our country. I mean, it's dividing us. And Satan is happy. But I want us to get back to 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. I want us to read that again, because our time is almost gone. And I want us to look at what we can do regarding these strongholds. Somebody read that for us again. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. Dee, are you still there with us?
Yes, I am.
2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10.
3 through 6.
3 through 6. We are human, but we don't wage war with human plan. And I'm sorry, let me start over. We are human, but we don't wage war with human plans or methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not merely worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's stronghold. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideals and we teach them to obey Christ. And we will push those who remain disobedient, after the rest of you become loyal and obedient. And we will punish those who remain disobedient after the rest of you become loyal and obedient.
Amen.
Well, let me read a little further, though. Just a second. The trouble with you is that you make your decisions based off appearances. You must recognize that you belong to Christ just as much as those who proudly declare that they belong to Christ. I may seem to be boasting too much, but the authority given to us by the Lord, but this authority is to build you up, not to tear you down.
My Lord.
And I will
Amen.
Not be put to shame by having my work among you destroyed.
Well.
Amen. So from that third verse, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war against the flesh. So what does that mean?
That means that and the scripture tells us that we fight against things that wicked things in high places, things that are not mm-hmm. of this plane, but they still have access to us that can have us doing stuff that we need not do, and that if there is a fight. And when you tie that to First Peter, you got to fight. There is a fight. There's an all-out war going on. And you got to know that you are a soldier, and that you have, from my perspective, that you have the correct weaponry. To win that battle, but you got to know that.
Amen. Amen. And where do our weapons come from? It says, for the weapons of
the
our
Lord.
Warfare are amen.
Oh, wow.
Amen. Are not
yeah.
carnal, but
and
mighty
you know,
in God. Go ahead.
And you know, Dr. Nitz, I think sometimes people think that if we don't use carnal methods of fighting, that we're weak.
Yes,
and that doesn't
do.
Mean we're weak at all.
Amen.
You stand by the Lord's methodology. Amen. And fight the battle God's way. Then you win.
Amen.
Yeah, because I can tell you that when God get it done, it's done.
That's the only way we're
I'm a living witness of that one.
Yeah, look at verse 4. That's the only way we pull down the strongholds.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So if we go about trying to pull down strongholds, even by going through a therapist, taking pills, if it's not from God, we're not going to pull those strongholds down. So, if somebody we get mad at somebody, we want to smack them upside the head. Or we want somebody else to smack them upside the head. Instead of getting on our knees and praying and ask God for help, it's like Dr. Susie said, if we do that, then people perceive us as being weak, and that's a stronghold. Can you see that?
Yep.
If we're afraid of looking weak, that's a stronghold. We need to overcome that. I'm just trying to get you to see how Satan works with our minds. The things,
especially in relationships, that can really be a challenge, because I think sometimes people have a perception that you know, at least men that I'm the man, and if you don't let me be tough, rough, and whatever, then, you know, that's an ego type thing. And I think the enemy uses all kinds of social constructs to separate us. And I think you said that earlier, Dr. Nix, is we have to be careful. Anything that begins to separate or to tear down is going to probably be a stronghold.
Amen. Amen. Brother Eric just read that we should be building each other up instead of tearing each other down.
Absolutely.
He just read it. Yeah.
But didn't God also tell Paul that in his infirmities and his weakness, that God's strength was perfected, that his grace was sufficient?
Amen.
And so shouldn't that be the same for us, that it's not about being weak, it's about being true to the Lord, and those are the Lord's battles. He said it. They're not our battles. Those are his battles.
Amen.
And the two things that are strong against, that are against strongholds, are the word of God and prayer. We can't ever lose with those two weapons in a battle against tearing down strongholds.
Dr. Susan,
the word
right,
of God and prayer.
And you're right, Dr. Susan. I would add a third one, that when it's a real bad war, do some fasting too.
Amen.
Amen.
I know there are a lot of people that don't understand and don't believe that because Christ has already paid the price and we don't have to, but that is showing God that you are serious. That I'm going to go without, you know, some pleasure. And it doesn't have to be food. You know, everybody thinks it's food, but it doesn't have to be, I don't think. But that's showing God that I'm dead serious about this. I want you to act. I want to release your power in this situation, and I want to show you that I am sincere about that by turning down stuff that, you know, would normally enjoy this, that, and the other. And that's, I think that can be very, very important as well. And I mean, didn't Christ tell his disciples that in the man when he came down the mountain and the devil wouldn't, the
Absolutely.
Demon wouldn't leave the man's son? And they asked him, why
Absolutely.
Couldn't he? He said, this by fasting and prayer.
And what I think we also negate or neglect to look at when we are fasting is that, you know, it's not just a matter of not intaking food or water or whatever it is. It's your posture. It's your posture to be one of being connected to God, being going on your knees in your heart to the Lord, appealing and petitioning the very thing you're fasting for, to being focused on that so that God is constantly hearing your prayer, your constant repetition. So that's another aspect of it.
Amen.
Absolutely, Dr. Susan.
And I know that we're about out of time now, but our listeners, you know, that are listening in, they may want to hear something about these strongholds, and many of them are probably facing some strongholds right now in their lives, and they probably need to hear a word of encouragement or a word to help them through these times dealing with the strongholds. So I'm going to ask Dee and Eric and Dr. Susie to maybe share a word with those that are listening in that might help them, that somebody that's dealing with strongholds right now in their lives. So, Dee, what message would you have to our listeners about strongholds?
My method that I found to be very effective with the strongholds that I deal with is turning it over to God. I mean, you just have to realize that if you keep fighting the same battle over and over again and you still find yourself losing, then it's not your battle to be fighting in the first place. You have to let go and let God. I know that's so cliche, but when you actually turn it over and walk away from it and don't keep going back trying to pick it up, God will work it out for you. And he's always worked it out for me. And that's
all
the only
right.
way that I've gotten through it.
Praise God.
Amen.
Brother Eric, what would you?
I would tell them, and I would take them back to 1 Peter 5, and that is, it's real. It is an enemy to you. It's going to happen. There are other folks going through it. And take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. And stand fast and hold on to Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what you got to do. You got, you know, the old folks, you say you got to know that you know that you know.
Amen.
You got to know that you are a child of God. You got to know that Christ has paid the price to set you free and to fight your battles, and you got to hold on to that.
All right.
Amen. And this is Dr. Susan, and the one thing I would say, especially for new believers, is that I hear people saying, hold on, because they're so excited about the faith. They're so eager to build that relationship, but it's like somebody who's running a race and you see somebody stick their foot out so they could trip, you know. That's what the enemy is going to try to do, is to trip you up. And so God, you know, Jesus has already said, and you've received that when he says, I'm the door. If anybody enters by me, they're going to be saved. And that we need to understand that thief is coming only to steal, kill, and destroy. And so you hold on to that which you first believed, and that's that relationship. Grow in that relationship. Be steadfast in your study and in your relationship building with God, because as you do that, you then are able to detect. You become like a detective. Your antennas come up whenever stuff that don't even look like God show up. You can smell it. It becomes something that you sense. It's a type of awareness that you begin to have as you grow in your relationship with God, to let you know something's funny around me, something that ain't godly is around me, some behavior that's not God is around me, and I sense it. My spidey senses are going up all over the place. And once you become aware of that, then those strongholds, those things that are erected to trip you up, those things that are erected to keep you from the knowledge and the blessings that God has for you, those things would be, you know, can be dissembled or relinquished. They can be destroyed by the word of God and by prayer. And so you just hold on to that relationship that takes you where you need to be.
Amen. And I will just leave with you that God loves you, and if there's anything that tries to let you feel or make you feel that God doesn't love you and doesn't care about you, then that's a sin. And that you will have strongholds to come in your life, but Jesus says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So understand that if you're in Christ, you're a new creature, you're a new person, old things have passed away, it doesn't matter what you've done, God still loves you. And God wants to be a part of your life right now. And all he's asking is that you open up your heart and let him in, invite him in. And those strongholds can be torn down through everything that everybody's already said. And we just commend you to God tonight and thank you for being a part of the Bible study. Dr. Susie, we'll turn it over
Brother,
to you.
Can you close us in prayer tonight? As we ask the questions for prayer requests, as you close us in prayer, I would like to ask that you would lift up our president, outgoing President Barack Obama, and his family. And I would also ask that you would pray a special prayer for our country and the discernment of strongholds around us. I also ask for job opportunities as well.
All right, anyone else?
Anybody else?
I'd like for you to remember the church as God's church. Again, I ask for prayer for revival, prayer for strength for so many of God's people that are tired, tired of the fight, and they just need to be strengthened right now and comforted in God.
I would ask you to lift up Sean and Jamie, as he's trying to heal and to keep his class.
I would ask that you pray for those that are still out there that are homeless, that do not have family to turn to, and that those that are still caught in addiction.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we, your humble servants, take time out to thank you for your many blessings, your kindness, our trials, our tribulations that help us to know that you stand with us, looking after us. But most of all, Father, I absolutely thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Christ who born of the Virgin Mary, who was crucified on the cross, who willingly gave his life that we that would believe would not be separated for all eternity. That is the greatest gift that you could give us, and especially as we prepare ourselves for this Christmas season, Father, that we would be mindful of what Christmas really means. And as that is the need for us to have a Savior, which Christ Jesus is. You've heard our petitions, Father. I pray for Sean and work for her, and that she will find employment that best suits her. Long-term employment. I pray for Jamie and his health, that he may get strong and well and be able to live a normal life as possible, Father. I pray for vocation opportunities for Dr. Susie, that she may find a place that you have called her to be, where she can make a difference in her corner of the world. I pray for those who are fighting addiction, to let them know that the only thing that needs to be replaced there is that that addiction can be replaced by you, Heavenly Father, that they may seek to find you willingly. I pray for those who are homeless and those who are struggling with family loss, that they may be reconciled and that they may find adequate shelter for them through this winter season and permanently, gracious Lord. I pray for revival in the church as well, but Father, the revival in the church can only start when there is a revival in those who are called themselves Christians in their hearts, Father, and that then we may take that to the church building and the places that we gather with each other. Gracious Lord God Almighty, I thank you for all that you have done and will do in our lives, Father. I thank you for I just thank you for being who you are, Lord. We are feeble. Mm-hmm. We have small minds. We can't see from start to finish. But you've already declared it all. You've already given us a glimpse of how it turns out. If we would only pay attention, Father, and follow, if we would only let you lead, if we would only get out of the way, Lord God Almighty, and let you be God, and that we may be the creation that you created us to be. For all you really ever wanted from us was a relationship with mankind. You didn't create man to be like the angels, to follow orders and instructions. You gave him free will, and all you wanted was a relationship. And even when man sinned, you still found a way to give him a permanent relationship. But it's up to us to grab hold of that, gracious Lord. So my prayer, Lord, is that we who have been called by your name would get out of the way, Father, and turn back to you and let you lead, let you guide us, so that we may reach the rest of mankind. For this world is dying, Father, and the things that are going on, Lord, are not of you. They're of Satan. But we who are called by your name are standing on the sideline, if not participating in all that is evil and wrong, Father. So let that revival burn within us, Father, that we may heed your words, that we may look to serve you as you called us to do, Father. We know we're going to make mistakes, Lord. We know we're going to fall short. But Christ gave us the opportunity to come before your throne of mercy, to confess our sins and to repent, and that we would be made like new, that you would cast them as far as the east is from the west, to remember them no more. You promised us that. Help us walk in your love, your patience, your long-suffering, your kindness. Because when we really look at mankind and when we really look at our own lives, you have been very long-suffering with us. I know I've made 57 years on this earth. You've been very long-suffering with me because they haven't always been great days, they haven't always been good days, and they haven't always been my best days. But yet you still have me here, Lord, asking me to be a beacon and a light for you. And I accept that, and I live for that. And may all those others that are called Christians be of the same mind, that we may stop being divided based on what are the isms and schisms that we believe in our own minds, those strongholds. Let them be torn down, Father, for we are no better. Your word tells us we're all filthy rags. We've all fallen short. So who am I to say that I'm better than somebody else just because my speech is different from theirs or my color is lighter or darker than theirs? I have no right. But what I do have a right to do is to show your love and to speak of Christ Jesus. For Christ Jesus is trying to save all of us. And as the song said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Let that ring true in all of our lives today, that we are just a nobody trying to tell somebody. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your presence to study your word. Don't depart from us now, Father. May we draw closer to you as the week goes, that we are not the same people that called into this call when we leave here, that we leave here for service, to meet our brothers and sisters where they are, and to give them what they need, a word from you. For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, where we'll be meeting here again next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time with the topic, Overcoming Personal Strongholds.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.